Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
know that the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Today we also are discussing the topic of hair loss, and we have with us someone who has been courageously fighting hair loss, and her name is Mary T. And Mary, we want to welcome you to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network today.
Thank you. Glad to be a part. Thank you very much.
Now let's just jump in, Mary. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
Now I've been living in California for the past 40 plus years. I'm originally from Arkansas. I started dealing with hair loss, though, in California probably about 10, 12 years ago.
Well, tell us about that. So when you say you were dealing with hair loss, tell us what you mean.
Well, at first I got something like, it was almost like a pimple in the top of my head. As I was combing my hair, I really didn't think anything about it. And it was really sore. And then it was there and then it would go away. And then it didn't bother me for a while. My hair, I didn't notice any changes in my hair or anything of that sort. And then it seemed to occur every 2 or 3 months and then more often. So finally, I start seeing hair loss. I went to the doctors. The doctor, you know, did a diagnosis of me. He had me come back several times. And then he also had me come back several months with a pool of doctors from the Sacramento, Los Angeles area. And I believe he had a couple of doctors from some parts of Texas, too. I felt like I was on display because they was all kind of looking at my scalp, took hair samples, to look under the microscope. They also looked at my scalp under the microscope. And it took them, you know, a few weeks to come back to me with the diagnosis said that I had alopecia areata. And they gave me a little bit of information about that, indicated that it could be from straightening comb, when I was using straightening comb, which I really didn't use very much, but they said it could be from straightening combs and from perms. A combination. My type hair loss is the, I kind of have a male baldness. It started off real thin and now in the very top, I really kind of have no hair and it's gotten very thin around the edges. So I kind of got a little depressed, discouraged. So at one point I just shaved it all off to kind of see what would happen. The edges came back, you know, but the top where it had came, where I lost the hair, did not come back. I was also instructed by a hairdresser at the time that was taking care of my hair to use Nioxin shampoo and conditioner, and that was supposed to be really good. But I think it was good from what I understand, if the hair loss wasn't as severe as mine. And of course, I mean, it felt good to the scalp, but it really did not bring any of my hair back, do anything. That point, I start using wraps and different things for the hair because I was very uncomfortable. I was very uncomfortable with wigs and wraps, but it got to the point that I lost so much hair, I went to a place that specialized in cancer and alopecia patients to look at wigs. And then they introduced me to some wigs that was soft to the touch of the skin versus, you know, really some of the wigs are really sticky, kind of stick to your skin and real itchy. So I started wearing those and I got a little bit more comfortable. And I'm comfortable with them, But it would be nice if I had hair, but I don't think that that's going to happen at this point because it's been so long and I keep losing hair. Once in a while now, the pimples will come back, not that often, maybe once every 2-3 months or so I may get that, and it's very sensitive to for me to touch my head or comb it. I still shampoo my hair, condition it every other day because I work out and I sweat a lot, so I still want to make sure
we want to let everybody know that you're still being treated, correct? This is ongoing treatment for you.
Yes, it is, but nothing is happening really.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
Lions don't hang out with hyenas. They don't. Lions hang out with lions. Because a lion only hangs out with other lions, then the standard for a lion is being a lion. The issue with us and success sometimes is that we don't intentionally hang around people who are what we want to be. We just don't do it. If we can understand the importance of the proximity to excellence, well, then the standard becomes excellent. Oftentimes, we get advice from a friend or a family member or somebody that we know who never even been in the space that we want to go. This is about the power of proximity. Most of us don't understand the importance of closing the gap to excellence. Like, we got to get closer to excellence. When you're around excellence, then you think excellent and you produce excellence in everything that you do. The expectations.
When you become successful, everybody wants you to be successful till you're successful.
That's right.
Then once you're successful, everybody wants to tear you down. They want to tear down a performance. They want to tear down what you said. They want to criticize you here. They want to find a bad thing to say about you. So you got to just keep walking.
Mm.
And your self-worth has to be strong enough that when everybody's trying to attack you, because they want to be you, and the only way they can be you is they rip you.
Mm.
And you have to be strong enough to take those attacks. You've just got to be strong enough. And when you're strong enough and you get who you are, man, what a life.
See the world. Understanding the impact of connecting with others, sure. But learning things about yourself and, again, others that you just had no idea existed. I think back to the first time I had an opportunity to go to Europe, to travel to Europe on my own terms. It was just a fabulous time in Paris, France. From then on to Spain and England and parts of Asia. And I'm grateful. But again, traveling opens up your world, literally. And it takes you much farther than you thought you would ever go. And along that journey, you're going to meet a whole lot of other folks. And inherently, there is an education in that process. You can, as they say, only go up.
You made my
everybody. It's Kerry Hines. I just want to say thank you. I have to thank you for helping us to get to 1,000 episodes of the All New Hair Radio Morning Show on Blog Talk Radio. It has been an incredible journey. So in honor of that auspicious occasion, it is a great honor to bring to the airways one of our classic In the Vault segments. So up next, get a little closer, up next is something that we are replaying from our Hair Radio Vault. Take a listen.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. We've got a special treat on the line, Mr. Leroy Bennett of Up The Way Productions. Leroy, welcome to Hair Radio.
Hey, Kerry, thank you for having me. I appreciate you inviting me on the network.
It's my pleasure. Now, first, I want to kind of tell everyone, what is Up The Way Productions?
Well, Up The Way Productions is a theater production company that I started here in Salisbury, North Carolina. Basically, what we try to do, we just try to get people exposed to theater, and there's a whole different venue right here. We do plays that are socially conscious. We do comedies, and we do also do some musicals. Well, musicals will be in the future, but right now, plays that are socially conscious and comedy plays, that's what we do right here in Salisbury. We had one production that was done, one that I wrote originally called Sign of the Times. And the current one that we're working on right now is one that was written by a woman from Orange, New Jersey, who lives here in Salisbury, by the name of Linda White Dale, and that's called The Verdict, the beginning or the end.
Okay, and tell us a little bit more about that as well. What is that play about?
Well, this play, The Verdict, is about... it's a fictitious story that was written back in 1994, and the irony of it is that it was written before there was an African-American president. I'm not going to try to give too much of it away, but basically it's putting the African-American race on the trial for the extension, for things that they did. And what it finds itself is in a courtroom setting, and the African-American race finds themselves defending itself. And near the end of the play, the defense lawyer projects for the future how the country is going to be ran if there was an African-American president. So that's the real irony of it. Yeah, it was really deep, you know, because it was written in 94, and then here we are, you know, 2008, you know, another 14 years later, and this play actually came, a fictional story became a non-fictional story in a sense, you know.
Wow.
So, yeah, real heavy stuff. Like I said, we try to do socially conscious stuff, you know, stuff that makes you go, you know, kind of like Arsenio Hall used to do.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Being part of one of the reasons I absolutely wanted you to be part of the Hair Radio Show with an interview is that because you're working in theater, you are reaching audiences, an immediate connection. Tell our listeners out there what can they expect in the way of style with a live presentation, and is there a connection to style and so forth with a live production?
Well, the thing about a live production as opposed to like a movie or a video that you make shoot, you know, you get the chance to do it only one time, and if you make a mistake, you have to keep going, because if you make a mistake and you freeze up, then the audience are going to know that you actually made a mistake. Now, your cast members and the directors, you know, they know if you made a mistake, but the audience, this is the key, the audience has no idea if you made a mistake or not. So that's the one thing that you have to do. You have to keep the show moving and keep the tempo of the show at the same tempo, or if you don't, then what will happen is that you will definitely mess up. but as far as the productions itself, it's a lot of work. You know, the rehearsal schedule is hard because you're working with people who may have, like, young children, so you have to make sure that you know, you're working around their schedule so that they have proper, adequate babysitting things. Then you may have somebody who may work at in the evening, so you have to, with me, I have to make arrangements in the afternoon, early afternoon, like maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, just to go ahead and run lines with them or show them their block and where they need to be at on stage and things of that nature. Then you got to work, and this is the part I like with working in theater, you have to work with costuming and makeup, and I love working with the makeup artists because, you know, you get a chance to age somebody. They either look like they're 16 in the first act, and then they look like they're about 48 in the second act, you know, so I love doing stuff like that, and I'm working with my makeup artists and hairstylists in particular because it's really great to work with them.
So tell us about a little bit more about that experience. You actually have you have stylists who handle the makeup and the clothing and the makeup. I'm sorry, the hair and the makeup and all of that, who are part of your production.
Well, what I do, I've been blessed to work with some people because I've been in this business now for about 10 years, either acting, and really I just started getting into the directing aspect, and it's a lot different in the directing aspect because you've got to be responsible for just a whole lot of other things outside of the costume or the costume designer you have to work with. You have to work with your musical director, who I have to give a call back around 3 o'clock this afternoon for the current play that I'm doing. And you have to work with them, and you have to work with your makeup people. And then you have to do, and I didn't realize this part of the business, is that you have to work with the marketing, the advertising, you know, doing what I'm doing now, being on radio or maybe a television segment or a commercial, you know, cutting a radio spot so that they can hear, you know, when the play is going to be done and so forth. So it's a, they said that you last a lot longer behind the stage as opposed to being in front of the stage, and it, I believe it's true too, because you know, once people know that you had a production that you've done, then I can go to the library because I do a lot of my work in the library here during the daytime, and I'll have like a little kid say, Mr. Bennett, are you doing a new play? You cast some people and stuff like that? Or I'll just have somebody who may have seen me be in a previous play or seen one of my plays, and they'll ask me, well, weren't you in that play, or aren't you doing another play? It's not overwhelming. It's really quite a compliment. I really enjoy that part of it. You know, it makes me know that people appreciate what I'm doing.
Well, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. We are chatting with Leroy Bennett, who operates, along with a few others, I'm sure, a company called Up the Way Productions. And they feature different types of live entertainment, live plays, that he's been sharing with us some of the wonderful experiences that he has been part of. So, Leroy, we certainly absolutely wish you continued success with all that you're doing. Tell our fans of the show out there and the listening audience out there how they might find out more about Up the Way Productions.
Sure. We have a website, and I'll be happy to give it to you. It's http://upthewayproductions.com/ Up the Way, and that's UPDAWAY Productions with an S .webstarts.com. And you can see basically see some of the cast members, you can see some of the stuff that I've done, and the current and future things that we are doing and that we're about to put forth. So please feel free to do that, or you can go and see me on Facebook, and that's Leroy F. Bennett at Facebook, and I'll be happy to let you come on in and see what I'm doing, or you can go to Up the Way Productions on Facebook.
And we'll make it easy as well. We'll post all of this on our Hair Radio and fan page and let the folks know what's going on out there. You can also follow us and reply back on Twitter. That will be hashtag Leroy. Right here on the Hair Radio Show. So thank you so much, Leroy, for being part of this. You have a wonderful time down there, and please come back and visit us at Hair Radio.
Well, hey, Carrie, I tell you what, it's been a long time, but I tell you, if I ever get a chance, if I'm ever blessed to come up there to do a show, I'll be happy to come up there and let you have an exclusive up there, okay? How does that sound?
That sounds great. Thank
you. All right, buddy. Thank you, Carrie.
The sharp money is fast money, and if you're wise, you'll stash the money, because eventually you'll get burnt out. Now your pocket's looking funny. Never saw it coming because you've been balling since 24. Do one hand designer shoes all day, now your knees sore. Create your exit plan or you'll be stuck in the trap. Like selling dope, the money come faster with no plan, it's a wrap. Miss your kids growing up trying to stack that paper. Now they're grown and you missed out on their life, and I hope they don't hate you. The shop will make you money, but it can leave you blind. Taking that thing that you can't get back, and that's called time. Taking trips to the hair show, yeah, that's sweet. But then you gotta rush back to the shop to stand on your feet. I'm just trying to school this generation the best that I can. Ball out and stack that paper, make sure you got an exit plan. The hair game is like a trap, money falling in your lap. God forbid you get sick, now your clientele off track. You better get you some insurance, and that's just something you can't dodge. Cause you mess around and you get sick, now you're forced to get a job. You buy your kids everything just to compensate for the time lost. Traded in the best years of their life just to call myself a boss.
Hi, I'm Carrie Hines, and I've been in the hair and beauty industry for 25 years. It's my pleasure and honor to introduce you to Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner, two unique all-natural hair products from Carrie Hines Hair Care, especially formulated to remedy any type of hair issue. And the biggest benefit of all is that Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner grows hair. Carrie Hines Hair Care is the very first African-American-based company to infuse hair care products with caffeine. Why caffeine? Well, many of you are aware that stimulating the scalp is truly what causes the hair follicles to awaken. We were most interested in developing a proprietary formula that works on all hair types, whether you have a relaxer or are a naturalista, and not wash away or strip the hair following a color treatment. We're thrilled at the amazing following of Carapi, and we thank you. Please register at Carapi.com and join our Carapi community at HairRadio.com. Again, I'm Carrie Hines. Thank you.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
That I have profited more from the negative as opposed to the positive.
Really?
Yes, because...
Negative experiences?
Yes, absolutely. I really relish and treasure them more than positive, because if I have been able to survive it and reach another level, that has given me more growth, more strength, more confidence.
Yes.
It has enriched my life more, and that's why I treasure them more.
More tools for tackling overwhelm. Number one, use the word no. Number two, consult your calendar before you say yes. Number three, clear your mind. And number four, get organized by prioritizing your week's workload. One of the best tools for tackling overwhelm is learning how to say no. Just no. I'm not going to be able to help you with that. No explanation needed, because when you start giving people your whys for your no, it opens the door to a conversation you don't want to have about something you're not prepared to deal with. So just smile, look, and say, oh, thank you for thinking of me. But no, I'm not going to be able to help you with that today. Next one, consult your calendar. Your calendar is a great bad guy, because when somebody asks you to do something and it's going to increase your workload to the point that it makes you feel overwhelmed, what you can do is this. Glance over your calendar and you have two responses. You know what? I don't see any time there. I'm going to be able to work on that with you today. Sorry. Or
you know what? It's 9 o'clock right now. I've got a little bit of time between 2 and 2:10. If you come back at 2 o'clock, I can spend 10 minutes with you on that problem. A lot of times, if the person doesn't have until 2 o'clock, they'll go find somebody else to help them with that. Right. Love it. Number three, clearing your mind. Clearing your mind dictates if you're not a person that's already doing meditation or you don't have any breathing exercises, just get up. Get up from your desk, get up from the sofa, go into the kitchen, make yourself a cup of coffee, walk out the door, walk around the block, just do something that will get you out of that space and give your mind a chance to reorganize itself and create space for you to solve a problem, be creative, or move on. Number four, organize by prioritizing your workload. A long list of 26 things on every single line on a sheet of legal paper is not really getting organized. What I suggest is get a sheet of paper, put Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and start taking the things off of that list and putting them in the day that they're due. Then go back and prioritize them, because a lot of times what we do is we make this long list of things and we just start tackling the first thing on the list, and unfortunately the first thing is not always the most important thing, and that's why we miss deadlines. I missed a really fabulous party that was thrown by Matthew Jordan Smith, the photographer in Los Angeles, star-studded. So if you don't want to be me missing important things, consider these four ways of addressing overwhelm by number one, saying no, number two, consulting your calendar, number three, clearing your mind, and number four, getting organized by
Get set. Michael Hopkins, let me be the very first to talk about this, and I'm so excited because this is a conversation I've been looking forward to having, and it really is about getting set. And that's S period D period T. That's S-E-T. So let's kind of dig into this, because we're really talking about health and safety at the salons and barbershops and businesses in general out there.
Oh, yeah.
So let's kind of delve into this. So what exactly is Get Set? And again, it really has to do with safety at the shops, and that's what it really stands for. Salons, emergency training, and or,
right,
in this case, talk. So Michael, what comes to mind when you think about safety at shops, just in general?
Well, in general, Carrie, just safety. It's so paramount that you have safety in the workplace. It's paramount, and it consists of so much. And that's why I'm so glad that we're talking about this. This is a very important topic.
I agree. And folks want to know why it's so important. Well, I have to say, because this is something, it's a new day. And there was a period of time where maybe we didn't have to be so concerned about our security when we were at our favorite hair salon or barbershop. But that day has kind of gone by. And what we're kind of left now with is just making certain that we have salons and barbershops with adequate, beyond adequate security measures and procedures in place. And so that's kind of where we are today in terms of talking about it. Exactly what can you do if you are faced with an emergency at your shop? And,
So,
Michael, what should one be thinking about at their shop? And how should we break this down for hairstylists and barbers and shop owners who may have never thought about having to be concerned about their personal safety or the safety of their customers? What would you say to them?
Wow, Terry, one of the first things that I would say to anyone who owns that type of establishment, or any type of establishment actually, Terry,
yeah,
is be aware of your surroundings. That's the first thing. Let's be aware of our surroundings.
Situational awareness.
There it is, situational awareness. Many times people are not paying attention. As you know, Carrie, we're in the age now of a lot of these electronic devices. We're in that age now where these things are practically glued to us.
True.
And unfortunately and regrettably, we're so dependent upon these devices, we get mesmerized with them. We all do it. And when you get mesmerized with these devices, you kind of lose track of the world around you and the people around you. And as you so, you know, in the beginning of this, Carrie Hines, as you so eloquently put it, we're in an age now that you have to pay attention.
You
just have to. You don't have a choice anymore. Yes, it was a time where, you know, people were kinder and it was okay. But nowadays, you have to pay attention. That's the number one thing. If I was to say anything to anybody.
Okay, so I like what you said about the situational awareness. So that means knowing what's happening around you in basic terms. And so that means kind of putting that cell phone down and kind of always being observant. And if you are scrolling to the right or scrolling up and down or sliding to the right or whatever it is, then please just make sure of what's going on at the shop or wherever you are. Remember, emergencies can happen at the least likely time. So, you know, you just have to always kind of, you don't have to be, scared or anything, but just be, on guard, in case you need to take further action, which we're going to talk about.
Just in case. You know, one of the things also that people should develop, and we're going to talk about this, a lot more extensively, is learning how to scan the area that you're in.
Important. Now, you're talking externally, because I was just kind of alluding to inside the shop. But, I agree with you. Let's talk a little bit about that. So, outside, and there's so many things and measures that we're going to, like Michael said, really elaborate as we kind of move along with this. Because this is not a one-and-done type conversation. We're just beginning to kind of peel back the layers so that you can really understand how important this is. This is just the beginning of many of these health and security conversations that we are going to have through our Hair Radio Get Set program. So I'm happy to talk about it. But again, like you said, Michael, externally. So when you talk about externally, the first thing that jumps in my mind are like cameras.
Very much so, Karen. Cameras, believe it or not, cameras can deter crime.
Wow.
People sometimes don't think that, Karen, but cameras can deter crime. And
what about the sign?
Yeah.
So how does that work? So what I would suggest, if you definitely cameras, outside the shop and kind of obvious and make it kind of obvious and or post a big old sign that says this premises is watched by cameras in many places. Some cameras you see, others you don't.
You don't. And 24/7 and, whatever.
All of that. Yeah.
And it helps. It helps. Statistics,
Good.
Carrie, statistics, when you study crime and, you know, statistics.
Yeah.
Statistics bear this out, that it's little things that a shop owner, a business owner can do that will deter crime. We used to have a saying when I was in the military, when I was in law enforcement, when I was in security, when I was in that type of world, is that you have different types of targets, we would call them. And you have what they call soft targets, and you have hard targets.
Yeah.
And, when just when you have certain things, and, you know, and as you and I have been saying, we're going to go all out in this because this is a very important target.
I agree, Michael. I agree.
Yeah, just now, give folks ideas.
Absolutely. Now, we were just saying about the cameras externally. Of course, now, there's a lot of ways that you can look at it and not just have the cameras externally. You can have the cameras internally inside the building's areas. When I remember starting out, cameras set up used to cost you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yes, it did.
That's what it was in the old days. Nowadays, you can get a good camera system for probably $30. So really, the price has come down drastically. Right? And you can have cameras in all the locations and areas. Michael, I just want to drive home this point about that, because remember we said earlier that externally by what can deter that is a sign that says some of the cameras are visible, others are not, because that's going to make them also think twice that they can come into your shop and look for the cameras and destroy them. They may not even know what is the camera. So that is the other point I wanted to make. So have them outside and inside. And one other important part about that, Michael, God forbid any type of occurrence and anything that threatens your security, remember that your neighbors, what you want to do also is get your neighbors to understand and participate that each of you should have cameras that can also overlap the areas that we're talking about.
Interlocking cameras. Oh, yeah, that would be perfect.
That's a great way. You talk about where they will think not just two times. They'll be thinking three and four times about
give or take,
at your location. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. My very special guest comes to us from the world of music. It is my honor to welcome back to our broadcast the amazing Dave Pick Conley. Good morning, and again, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Shalom, Miss Carrie. How are you?
We are doing just fantastic today, and all
awesome,
the listeners
awesome.
Out there, yes. Well, first of all,
hey,
it is...
And again, how's everybody out there as well?
Exactly.
Got to
keep our fans in from all over the
Absolutely.
World.
Absolutely. There you go.
And they are familiar with you and your music and your work with Surface. We got to start at the beginning, Dave. We have to. We have to tell everybody about your remarkable career. And I'm online just reading all this. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So let's start at the beginning. I believe
well,
are
the
from
beginning
Jersey,
that
correct?
Most people, I'm from New Jersey, yes. The beginning that most people know me of was starting out with Surface. And Surface was where we had most of our hits. You know, Surface went through a couple of changes in the beginning. In the beginning, in 1983 was my first record. And Surface was myself and a young lady named Karen Copeland.
Yeah.
And the song was Falling in Love. We did three songs, Falling in Love, When Your Ex Wants You Back, and Stop Holding Back.
Yeah.
And then her and I, we split the group up, and then I met this fabulous, fabulous singer named Bernard Jackson.
Yeah.
And I should mention that David Townsend was working with me as well, with Karen as well. David Townsend is one of the members of Surface as well, that passed away back in 2005.
Oh, my.
So... he's one of the members that started that as well. And so he introduced me to Bernard Jackson, and bam, we started
and
a whole new
and
line.
And Bernard took over lead, right? Yes,
he did. Did he? Oof. Indeed, he did. And what a beautiful, beautiful takeover, because he came in, you know, and we did Happy and Shout Me With Your Love and You Are My Everything, Closer Than Friends, The First Time.
The top
you know,
of the R&B charts, you guys. Yes, you have some hits out there, which is an amazing legacy. It is an amazing legacy. Yes, it's my pleasure.
It's because the people out there, you know what, you can have as many songs as you want. But if the people are not feeling you, if they're not feeling those songs and want to keep hearing them, you don't really have anything. So thank you for each and every one of you guys for making our songs number one and keeping us alive through this time period when we don't have any hit records out right now, but you're still playing the ones that we had before, which keeps us alive.
Absolutely. And I have to say, you know, and I just want to make sure everybody is clear who we are talking to this morning. We're going to bring everybody up to speed. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, my very special guest with us today, again, he comes to us from the world of music. He's been a founding member of this amazing R&B group that you guys know well from Surface. It is our honor to welcome back. Again, welcome back to the broadcast, the one and only Mr. Dave Pick Conley. So thank you so much, Dave, for being with us.
Oh, yeah, you caught me at a good time, you know, because
awesome.
I was just walking into the studio getting ready because I've been working on my smooth jazz record right now.
Really?
It's actually finished. It's finished, but I had called up my good friend Tony Terry, who sings with you, in case you guys don't know.
Oh, yes.
And he's going to sing on one of my songs, and it will be the first single.
So you're hearing it right here, guys. Well, can you tell us the name of it, the single yet, or anything, or you want to wait and hold on
to it a
little bit?
I'm going to tell you what I did.
Okay.
What I did. And this came out of nowhere. A young lady called me up, and she said that she wanted me to produce Shout Me With Your Love on her, right?
Wow.
So me and my friend Gene Lake, we said, okay, let's do it. So Gene Lake put the track together, and then she changed her mind. And I was listening to the music, and I was like, you know what? I know I'm finished my album, but you know what? This thing sounds so good. I'm going to play the flute to this thing. And so I played the flute to it, and it sounds so gorgeous. And I said, you know who would be really good singing this thing? The background's with me, Tony Terry.
Wow.
So we're going to finish it up today. So that's what we're doing.
We can't wait
today.
To hear it. And
me
who
too.
On this earth could have forgot? I mean, Tony Terry's hit song with you. Oh, my gosh. And I was just watching the video just a few days ago. She's an amazing, amazing performer. And I remember that white suit. That's what I remember the video. Like white, you know, it was really, and the hair, of course. We always think about that on this show. Now, talk about your moving into the smooth jazz world. What is that with your upcoming project?
Well, it's only a stop off. It's really just a stop off. As a lot of you guys know that know me as well, this is like my third flute album. And because of COVID, you know, we haven't been working, you know, and so I'm sitting up in my studio and I said, well, if I'm not doing anything, let me just put together my little flute project. So that's how that came about. And so I've been putting that together, and actually it's been together for months now, but I get so particular sometimes, you know, working out my mixes and everything. And I'm glad I did, because it gave me an opportunity to come up with this beautiful song, this beautiful new arrangement of one of my old songs. You know, the song was actually written by Bernard Jackson, and I remember when he brought the song to us, and I was like, whoa, never heard nothing like that before. I'm like, yo. And he was going to give it to somebody else. I said, no, you ain't. That's saying right here.
I love when the singers, you guys get the songs and they, they really go in to keep, to have that song for themselves, you know.
When you got a special one, indeed, Carrie. So when you got that special thing going on, and me and Dave, we both heard it as a special song.
Wow.
And so it speaks for itself. And when I do it on the flute, hopefully I can give it that same integrity that it had with Bernard's beautiful voice.
Wow.
So, you know, time will tell. And when it's done, you know, we're going to put it out. Oh, and as a matter of fact, on November 22nd will be the first time I'll actually feature it live on Instagram.
Wow.
And that'll
be amazing.
November 22nd.
Okay.
So I'll
be
posting all of that as well.
Exactly. And we're going to keep all of that as well through Hair Radio. So we, you know, for the time going past it, we're going to make sure to run this, because we want folks to always be able to have access to your amazing music. Where they get their music from. Now, I've got to say, I want to go back to the early days for a moment. I really do, because I know that, you know, I always mention this during when we get a chance to chat about your connection with the late Gwen Guthrie Jersey, I believe, as well. So can you talk to us a little bit about that whole connection? And ain't nothing going on but the red. You know, one of my favorite classic songs.
Wow.
So what was that all about?
Oof. Well, you know, she's from East Orange, New Jersey.
Yes, and I graduated
from
Scott, too, so shout out to Scotty. I got to do that.
And I'm a Scotty as well.
Now, we went to the same high school?
Yes, we did. So there was this little school studio right around the corner from Scott. It was right on Dodge Street.
It was called Ears.
It was Eastern Artist Recording Studio, but those were the acronyms. And the name of the studio was Ears. And so I heard that Gwen Guthrie was recording there. So I said, I'm going to go on up there. So I went on up in there, and I saw Gwen over to the side. I said, oh, hey, Gwen. I was real nice, you know, and polite, you know, because you don't just bust on people, you know, like that.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Oh,
Rise and Shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right. It is Thursday morning, January 25th of 2024. I am Gary Hines. It's great to have you guys with us. It's mid-show. That's our second hour of the day. And yes, we are live. It's our broadcast number 945. Let me just say that again. 945 en route to 1,000 episodes. That's quite an accomplishment in podcast and radio, whatever you want to kind of give whatever nomenclature. So we're going to be talking about that as we kind of move into our spotlight hour. Also, wanted to do something a little special. You know, we've been kind of going into our vault in honor of reaching 1,000 episodes and beyond. So we wanted to pull out something that I wanted to get back on again. You guys have been asking for this. And you heard a little bit of Diana Ross earlier with the song Work That Body. We played it a little while ago. And what I wanted to do in honor of one of her group mates that you guys remember her. I mean, it just didn't get any better than one of our late Supreme singers, who Mary Wilson, who just was remarkable. Well, this is the story of a young man who was Mary's final assistant, who came to our broadcast. Boy, he has an incredible journey. We have never replayed this since he made his first appearance on our show, and only appearance on our show. So we decided to, in our wonderful Spotlight Hour today, to kick this off. So we will, again, for the replay, so we'll have that on around a little after 8 o'clock this morning, and then the conclusion will air in the morning on Friday's show. So a lot to get to, plus we have a lot of great things to talk about. I want to bring to the line, he's my co-star, Michael Hopkins, a gentleman I have a lot to say about. He's been with us for several years. He literally ushered in this whole part of claims and compensation on behalf of disabled veterans. He ushered in that kind of advocacy within our program under the banner of our, of course, hair and beauty, but also community. And so we've got to get him on. And he's on a little earlier with us this morning. Michael Hopkins from beautiful Spotsylvania, VA. Are you there, Michael Hopkins? Michael
Very
Hopkins,
much so.
What? You are there. Good
Very
morning,
much
officially.
So.
Happy Mitch Show. We've been listening to you already.
Oh.
But
happy mid-show is correct.
Yes. So, Michael, I tell you, it's Thursday morning. We're knocking them down. We got one more day to go for this week. But I've got to say, it really has been quite a remarkable week on the broadcast. We've been really kind of killing it with all kinds of wonderful little tidbits and kind of going into the vault and kind of replaying some of the fan favorites and things that we just have kind of forgot about, to be quite frank. So So what do you want to say, Michael, to that? I mean, reaching 1,000 episodes, you know, like I always say, most of us don't know anybody who's done 1,000 of anything.
Nope, not even 1,000 push-ups.
Definitely not 1,000 push-ups. But does that channel to you? And have you done things that are consistent? Have you been consistent? That's the question of the day.
Oh, yes, very, very much so, Carrie. You know, like, I come from that other world, the law enforcement, security, military, that type of training world, and I was always consistent and doing those type of jobs, always, for a very long time. Always consistent, always showing up, always giving it my best shot. had no choice. It was something I loved, something I enjoyed to do, and I just did it, you know, till it was time for me to kind of fold my flag and call it a day.
Well,
and go into another realm.
I was about to say, you have not really taken that tent down just yet.
And you say not just yet.
Not just yet. No, you have built a whole nother level to that. We're very proud of your work that you're doing right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You've become an A-list podcaster. Well, that's what you've done, and this is not a secret. You've got fans who are listening to you right now, and we support your efforts. And, you know, a lot of this, and this is part of what I've been kind of talking about in recent times, and that's that, you know, the world kind of will send us messages that your day is gone, that, you know, your time has passed. And the only focus that you hear, a lot of it we cannot relate to, you know, it's just somewhat generational. They don't really often play the music that we once knew and enjoyed. The types of movies and things just seem like it's gotten away from us. And
yep,
so
I
wanted to build and recreate the community that we love and feel very much a part of. Here is where we win. And that's the space I wanted to rebuild. So every morning it's about gaining that inspiration. I think one of the fans of the broadcast said it best, you know, when she listens to the Hair Radio Morning Show, she's hearing things that she doesn't hear everywhere else. And for me, that's what I take to heart every day on this broadcast. I really do. I take it to heart every day to do the best I can throughout the day. Like I say, you've heard me say this, Michael Hopkins. You guys are with us for 3 hours, right? They're with us for 3 hours a day. You're listening to our broadcast, the Hair Radio Morning Show, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. But once we wrap at 9 o'clock, I'm still here. And we work, Michael, around the clock. Pulling together ideas. We don't just get on here and run our mouths. It might seem like that, right? No, we don't. We put a lot of effort into shaping our episodes so that our messaging lands. We're about hair, beauty, and that big C word, community.
Community.
And we take it to heart. We take it to heart. So, you know, I'm real proud of that, and I'm grateful. And this is just the beginning. So we're, you know, closing in on our first 1,000 episodes, literally.
Very much so. Very much so. Closing in.
We've got another 1,000 or two to go. Woo! That's a lot of shows. And
it is.
And I'm real proud of that. Yeah, so I just wanted to kind of chime on in with that. I'm really proud of that today and real excited. Wanted to do a quick note. Michael, I don't know if you heard the first hour, if you were listening to parts and bits and pieces of the show getting off the ground today. There was our music playlist. You guys always ask me about this. I have never played the artist who kicked off the broadcast today in our music spotlight. I was just our opening music spotlight. Each day we kind of lead off with a song, kind of giving you something to sing along with, and you know, as you pour your cup of coffee or tea. So today I said, we got to get on something that, you know, that really, an artist that we've never really had, who is a legend, an absolute legend. She sang with artists like the Jacksons and, I mean, just everybody. She's got a career that spans 6 decades. Six. She's had
hard
number
to
one hits in just every decade, literally. Very smart woman, incredibly brilliant and talented, and not just a singer she's accomplished, but I remember when she wanted to go into movies, they kind of laughed at her. They kind of laughed because they didn't really take her seriously. Well, the one thing you should never do, and that's underestimate a passionate person who happens
very
to
much
be super
so.
Talented.
Very much so.
Can you tell us, Michael Hopkins, can you take a wild guess at who this artist that we played this morning, and what went through your mind? Did you recognize her incredible, distinctive voice?
Wow, Carrie, I had to do a double take. You had the fabulous Cher. And I had to do a
you
double
didn't know it
take,
was
Carrie.
Michael, did you? Did you recognize that was Cher? No. I don't think you. Did you, Michael? Tell us, did you?
I thought I was dreaming at first, Carrie, to tell you the truth. I really did, because I said, wait a minute. That sounds like Cher. And, I followed Cher's career, like you said, over from the 60s. I followed Cher. I really did. I enjoyed her.
Well, you
and
know what? A lot of people in the black community, we love Cher. I mean, we
right.
just love, we, you
right.
know, 100%. We love Cher. Yeah, yeah.
100%,
she is that woman is a true survivor.
Yeah,
she
is a consummate, you know, she's a consummate artist. She is an artist, because you figure from the 60s, you know, she was churning out hits. She had television, the 70s, and then the 80s, we're talking.
She's been in every medium. Exactly.
Wow.
She's been in every medium and made it into the pinnacle. And when she did that movie, I believe her first movie, I'll say if it wasn't her first movie, it was simply certainly close to it. She did Silkwood with Meryl Streep, and she received such rave reviews. They couldn't believe it. Now, to me, Michael, when I watch some of the clips from the Sonny and Cher show that was on television, and she used to play.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to just say I've kind of seen some of the replays. I don't think I was around to watch the original show.
Uh-oh. And on the other hand here, I'm not going to say, Carrie.
Okay. Well, yes. Sonny and Cher, which was a popular variety show back in that era. Variety shows were huge.
Yeah.
So everybody had a variety show. Sonny and Cher, so Cher was ginormous. And, but to me, she always played so many different characters. I don't know why folks thought it was a stretch when she wanted to go into the movie. You could tell that she would be great. You could just tell.
Very much
well,
so.
Well, at least I could. And so I was so proud. And she was nominated for an Academy Award, maybe not for that movie, which I believe she – well, no, actually, I believe she was for that movie. But she definitely had been nominated. And not only had she been nominated, she won an Academy Award for Moonstruck.
Wow.
So,
that's what I was getting ready to ask you about.
Yeah, so I was real happy about that.
Wow.
So this particular song that I'm going to replay, I got to replay since we talked about it like this on the show. This song that I played today, which is a beautiful song. It was written by another music artist that you guys know real well. Her name is Pink. I got to get some Pink songs one day on the show. But Pink wrote this song, and I loved it. I loved the music in the song, but more
right.
importantly, the words. When you listen to those words, if you're not touched about somebody walking alone, something that we all, at some point, we have to walk alone. And boy, oh boy, does it hit you and it lands.
Yes, it does.
And I love the song. I've been a big fan. I listen to Cher all the time here. There's songs that I listen to here that I don't literally put on the show. But I'm going to start bringing some of those. In addition to your fan phase, I'll be bringing them on to the broadcast. So we'll get it on. We'll get it on in a few minutes and let you guys listen again, because, again, for me, that intro, the music where the show comes on and she talks about, you know, she's got to take steps. We all have to do that at some point. We got to just go and do and be. So I want you to really get close. Listen with new ears, I say. That's the way we say it in radio and podcasting. Listen with new ears.
Listen with new ears. I love that. I love that.
It really is true.
And you know, Carrie?
What's that, Michael? Yeah.
We do have a connection to Pink.
Oh, okay. Can I get her on the show? I'd love to have her right here on the Hair Radio.
So would I, too. But our
okay,
connection.
Well, how can we do that? What's the connection?
Well, our connection is she's actually from our hometown.
Oh, Pink is from Philadelphia. She's from Philly.
She's from Philadelphia. And the reason why she's called Pink, she used to blush. And that's
wow.
why her nickname was Pink.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, I love her story. She has a rich story, too.
Yes, she started out,
her first single was an R&B song that I'm going to get on here, because the first song that she came out, which I just love that song. I'll try to get it on for you guys tomorrow. The way that I recall hearing her story is that she didn't want to just do R&B, be pigeonholed, singing R&B music, which she loved, but that's not the only part that she wanted. She wanted to write and produce her own songs and music and be more of a rock star. That's what I got from her. And she's gone on to become just that. And so we're real, real proud of her and all that she's accomplished. Now, speaking of accomplishment, Michael, we're going to get more and replay the Cher song in just a moment. But also wanted to remind folks out there that February is a very special month for me. It's a very special month for you, to our fans, everything. So this February and every February, we do something called Fan Fever February. Okay, Fan Fever February.
and what that's all about.
Yeah, right? It's all about, first of all, three times. right, exactly. Well, Fan Fever February. Yeah, Fan Fever February. Okay, Fan Fever February 2024. And I'm so excited because this is really where we at the Hair Radio Morning Show are taking the time to recognize that it is a celebration of Black history. February is Black History Month. In addition to us digging up some of those great love songs that we never, ever play on the show in honor of Valentine's Day and all that wonderful good stuff, and so much more. So, you know, that's what we do here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. Hair, beauty, and community. That's what
community.
We're all about. Yeah, okay, Michael Hopkins, community, that's your favorite line. And we are so proud. We enjoy that, too.
So listen, Michael, we're going to talk about that talk in just a bit as well. But again, something that we're doing, we're going to turn a little bit of a corner a little after 8 o'clock this morning or so, where we're getting on this replay that talks about the late Mary Wilson, who passed away just not all that long ago. And the gentleman who's on our broadcast today is really part one of this incredible. He was the last assistant to the supreme singer, Miss Mary Wilson. And we're going to get that on for you around the third hour today, so a little around 8 o'clock, so a little over a half hour or so. Anything you wanted to kind of talk about with all of this that we're talking about this morning? Michael Hopkins, you know,
wow, okay.
We're hitting 1,000 episodes. What would you like to say to everybody this morning?
Oh, Carrie, yeah, we were definitely bumping this morning. And just looking back and or listening back, you had on, as usual, you had on two of my favorite artists from the Motown era. You had Stevie Wonder, All I Do Is Think About You, and Diana Ross, Work That Body. Wow.
So you heard the playlist today, Michael. I'm in shock. Okay.
Very.
Yeah, we have our music playlist is something that we take seriously as the Hair Radio Morning Show. We want to shape your day with as much positivity, with as much nostalgia, with just great overall feelings. And that does not, you know, that's a part of what we're doing right now. You know, I just love it. I think it's important to stay positive. And I think we give
very
everybody
much
that morning dose of inspiration. So, Michael Hopkins, it's great to have you with us. Listen, we got a lot to unpack today, as we do each broadcast. And boy, oh boy, do we have, speaking of fans, we've got a fan fever February that is on the way and second to none in the history of our broadcast here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we've got a huge February that is on the way. On the way. So I'm real excited about that. And we'll talk a little bit more as well. Michael, next week on Tuesday, we'll talk about what's coming up on Vet Talk Radio. I'm looking forward to muscular. We got to talk about this episode.
Oh, yeah.
We got a lot more to get into on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You guys heard from, we opened the broadcast with an interview with Mr. Leroy Bennett. And I believe he's out of South Carolina. Well, I know Leroy from decades ago, known him a long, long, long time. And that was an interview that was conducted back in 2007 or 8, before we even got to the Hair Radio Morning Show. So that was something from our vault. And I just wanted to get that on and kind of see what you guys thought. So how was that, Michael Hopkins?
Oh, it was fantastic. I love it. Up the Way Productions. Oh, I love it.
Yes,
socially
that's
conscious
right.
Plays. Wow.
Yeah, and I love that idea, and I want to kind of create some kind of version of that for up here in the Northeast. So we have a wonderful theater that we work and produce things in that you guys know. We were doing something last March there. So I'm inspired. So we'll talk more about that in days to come. We really will. Now, Michael, I had to get this song back on since we talked Miss Cher up. Okay?
Yes, we did.
I hope you guys like it. Yeah, this is a song and a half. To me, it's one of Cher's best songs to me. And she's got some great songs. You know, I wish I had half re-queued. But here's one of Cher's. Yeah, this again is the incredible song, I Walk Alone, for the first time, really, Cher being played on our broadcast, the Hair Radio Morning Show. Take a listen, and when we come back, more Michael Hopkins, more Carrie Hines, and where we are, we've got to talk, we've got a lot to talk about. So as we say, we've got a lot to unpack here on the broadcast, so stay with us. Here is the replay
I Walk Alone by the incredible singular named artist Cher. Nicole Marie, Michael Hopkins. I am so excited to talk about this incredible magazine, Afrolock Magazine. It's no secret that we have put together a very, very popular publication that is available monthly, readers everywhere, literally all over the world. Now, this particular, in this current issue, I've got to say, I have to do a big shout-out to Sam Enon, the man behind BOBSA.org. GIN stands for Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association, and Sam started this iconic business out there in the West Coast, and we're so excited. So he put together, I should say he compiled a list of incredible Black publications, Black magazines, that we just all, you know, have been a part of our lives, really. And we are so excited to kind of talk about them on today's broadcast. So Afrolock Magazine, we are just getting this thing going. Again, Michael Hopkins, Nicole Marie, take it away.
Thank you, Carrie. Well, let me just say that Black magazines, they have just been crucial to the Black hair care industry and the wider community just for decades, just providing a platform
for Black voices and promoting diversity in media. With the rise of the internet and the digital publishing, it's easier to launch a Black magazine and reach new audiences. There are few paper publications today. Digital magazines offer a unique opportunity to share important stories and to connect readers around the world, which is so very, very important, Kerry and Michael.
Yes, I totally agree. Well, we are going to count down these publications. Michael, we're going to lead off with you all the way from number 21 to 1. And again, if you're just joining us, we are welcoming our fans from all over the world. And thanks to Sam Inan, the man behind BOPSA.org, BOPSA, and he's the president out there, who compiled this great list of Black magazines. And as you pointed out, Nicole Marie, these magazines have been very much a part of our lives.
Yes.
And we're just excited, really, to lead on in. So at number 21, you guys out there will never guess what publication is kicking this off at number 21. Michael, do you want to fill everybody in?
Wow, Karen. Number 21, our favorite magazine, Afrolock Magazine, coming in at number 21.
Wow.
At 2-1 for you civilians, number 21.
Wow. Awesome. Thank you, Michael Hopkins. Nicole Marie, what do you want to say? Number 21 is Afrolock.
I'm just so very excited about Afrolock Magazine. I mean, it's just a wonderful opportunity to just share with just people, again, all around the world, just so much fabulous information about hair, beauty, and community.
That's
and
right.
I'm just so excited to just be on this list. Thank you again to Sam. Just excited to be on this list and be recognized as one of the best publications,
yes,
Black publications.
Right. I agree 100%. Michael Hopkins, I really have to say, I mean, to first of all be on an iconic list as we start to count down these numbers from 21, I'm just happy and honored. I really am. Yeah, we've got to truly take a moment to acknowledge this. And that Afrolock is just really coming out of the gate, so to speak,
exactly.
And to be recognized on this level, that just speaks to the faith and the hope and the support that folks really contribute to how much and how well we do our work here at Afrolock Magazine.
Exactly.
And so, yeah,
wow.
Right. It's
so very thankful
problem.
And grateful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And yes, we are. So very grateful to the fans, to all our readers. We're just so grateful.
Afrolock
was
number.
Just, wow.
Yes, I'm, and you know how happy I am to hear that at Afrolock Magazine for the year 2023, absolutely. Now, Michael, what's that number 20 on our list as we count
Karen,
down?
Number 20 on our list is the Soul Town Magazine.
Oh, okay. Now, I've got to speak to the Soul Town Magazine because I can just hear it now. Our fans might not be as familiar, and I'll break it on down why, because when you really look at the Soul Town magazine, which is an incredible publication in its own right, and so deserving of being number 20 on the list, and Chillin Kaba, who is the incredible person behind, I should say publisher behind, the Soul Town Magazine, and I love them so much, and we want to shout them out. They're a media partner to our publication of Afrolock Magazine. And now their magazine, Chillin is out in California, I believe in the Silicon Valley area and all of that. And so her publication is all about community too, and it's so beautifully laid out in so many different colors. So I just want to shout them out. They had invited me to be their one of their hair editors when we first kind of were in the throes of planning our publication. So I just want to shout them out this morning. They're fantastic. And we just appreciate you.
Awesome.
Yeah, up and down. So thank you for being one of our media
thank
partners.
You.
And we're real excited. Okay, Nicole Marie, can you? Yes, yes, number 19 on the list.
Yes, number 19 is Shop Talk magazine.
And what, yes, from what year is that?
That is Shop 2003.
Yes.
Wow.
We want to definitely acknowledge these years because they go back with these publications.
Yes.
Such a great job. Shop
wow.
Talk, what Shop Talk is, for those of you who are really, this is the first time you may be in the hair business and you may have not heard of some of these publications. That's very possible. Shop Talk was a very, very, very popular industry magazine. And this was really before I kind of got on the scene in the hair world, but I was aware of it. I was aware of it because once I entered into the hair and beauty industry, I had to do my research. And so I found out that Shop Talk was the magazine. If you were a person of color and you were entering in the world of hair, you needed to know what they were saying in Shop Talk. So I shout them out this morning. Michael Hopkins, what's next on the list?
Next on the list, Carrie, Nicole Marie, is Upscale Magazine.
Uh-oh, okay.
Yes, founded in 1986. Wow.
Was it 80? Yeah, 87, I think it was.
87,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Upscale Magazine. What can we say? Nicole Marie, do you want to take a stab at Upscale Magazine before I jump on in?
Well, let me just say, Upscale Magazine, definitely love the publication. So familiar with the publication, have just, you know, delved into stories for the publication, and it's just wonderful. Just wonderful magazine.
Yeah. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest joining us today. He's from the world of fashion. And boy, oh boy, does he have a story to share this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Okay, let's bring to the line Mr. Nicholas Stiles. Nicholas,
good morning.
Good morning and welcome. Yes, welcome to the broadcast. Okay, I want to jump. Yes, it's my pleasure. And listen, I want to jump right on in to this. This is, to me, a very big, big story. It's one that has not, that I hadn't heard about. I want to start here. You are, you had been working with a legendary music artist. You were hired to work closely and be an assistant to this legendary music artist. And shortly thereafter, the music artist passes away.
Right.
So I want to get the story with how all of this came to be. You know, the entire story. I think we want to tell this. But first, let's kind of go back a little bit.
Now, you are, where are you from, Nicholas? Where were you born and where were you raised? That wonderful good stuff. What can you tell us this morning?
Lorain, Ohio. From Lorain, Ohio, born in Lorain, Ohio, raised in Lorain, Ohio. That's actually where I live right now, because I've been back to Ohio.
Okay. And that's near the Cleveland area.
Yes, about a good maybe 30 minutes from downtown Cleveland.
Okay. All right. So now this person, this superstar, if you will, let's just go ahead and put it on out there. We're talking about the late Mary Wilson. You guys know her from Supreme's fame. She's been, you know, forever immortalized as far as we're concerned with her incredible music talent. And so we've got to go back. Let's start at the beginning. How did you find out, how did this come to be where you were hired on as an assistant for the great Mary Wilson?
Well, then if we're going to talk about that, we have to go back even further.
All right.
2018. Actually, I think we should go back even further than 2018. When I was about eight years old, I was watching PBS, and they were doing a telethon to sell DVDs for the Ed Sullivan Show. And I honestly didn't know who the Supremes were. I knew the name Diana Ross, but I didn't know who the Supremes were. So it was, you know, I'm watching this little program that they were doing to raise money for the station and sell these DVDs. And the Supremes come on, and they're wearing these baby blue sequin fish scale halter neck dresses. And what made me fall in love with them is their dresses. So then I started, you know, going on the internet, looking them up, and I found, you know, more videos of them and more. I found that they had more dresses and more sequins and beads. So then I started looking up who they were individually and looking at their individual stories, not knowing that there was a connection between Supremes and Dreamgirls at the time. And well, until later on when I looked it up and discovered more like Florence Ballard's story, and they compared it to Effie White. From there, sorry. Okay. I didn't know if you were going to say something. But from there, I had always had a dream of being a fashion designer. So when I discovered the Supremes, it kind of like felt like I found my muse of what I wanted to design. Because I've always had this idea of glamorous stuff, glamorous clothes. But I never had a face to put to it, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
So when I discovered the Supremes, they became the face to my design.
All of the glitter and the glamorous stage presence and the dancing and singing and those amazing songs. They have like a billion songs. And wow, okay. So you fell in love with them at that point, never dreaming that you'd be working for one of them.
Well, in 2015, December 2015, my grandmother, Faye, died. And one of the things she always encouraged was my, like, liking for Motown. She had a bunch of records, because that was her period of growing up.
Right.
It was the 60s. So she had a bunch of records, and she'd play the records, and we would listen to the records. She'd tell me, like, oh, I remember doing this or doing this to this song. And I remember she tried to get us a tour of the Motown Museum. She died before that happened, but she did. One thing she did say is kind of, I guess, a coincidence. Everything she said happened, but it didn't happen exactly how she said it. Because what she said was, "You're going to meet Diana Ross, and you're going to become close to her, work with her, do all these different things." And everything she said happened, was going to happen with Diana Ross happened with Mary Wilson.
Wow. But she had that vision.
Yeah.
And quite often when you get those visions, they, to me, they happen, but it may not be exactly, you know, what that person had seen. But that is amazing. Right. So that was the beginning and quite possibly planted in your mind as well. And it could have started you on that road and path.
A little bit. No, definitely. Well, Mary and Diana are my favorite Supremes. And I remember every year Diana would come to Ohio, I would try to go see her. Something would always happen. One time, so whether the tickets sold out before I could buy the tickets or I wasn't old enough to get into a venue, because most of the time she would come to Cleveland, would be at one of the casinos, so they didn't allow anyone who wasn't over 21 in the casino.
Right.
So there was one time I had everything ready, going to go to Vegas to go see Diana Ross, and this was a month before the pandemic happened. I was the week before my flight was supposed to leave, everything got shut down. So it kind of felt like I'm never going to see this woman. So just kind of like a thing of it's never going to happen. But by this time, I was already in contact with Mary Wilson. January of 2018, after a phone conversation, we had never met in person before. We talked on the phone, and I had.
Well, how did she? How did you find? Did you see something on the internet that she was looking for an assistant, or how did she even know that you existed?
Well, she didn't. I don't think she knew. Well, I don't know if she knew I existed or not, but I will say when I told her who I was, she acted as if she knew who I was already. So it was never a question of how you got my phone number or who are you, you know, anything like that. But how I got her phone number was her hairstylist, her name is Diana, accidentally. Her hairstylist posted their text messages on Facebook and didn't realize that she posted the text messages and had her number at the top of the
page.
And so I'm like, this is Mary Wilson. I knew who Diana was because a lot of the Supremes fans are connected with each other, so we all kind of know each other in one way or another. And I knew who Diana was because she's been talked about and she's talked about working for Mary. So when I saw it, I'm like, that's not really Mary. Mary's phone number. It's like, that's too easy. Like, this is no way that I have this woman's number. So I text the number, and I said, Merry Christmas. This was obviously, you know, Christmas. And I said, Merry Christmas, because that's the day I found it, was on Christmas. And she replied back, Merry Christmas. I don't know who this is, but happy holidays to you and your family, something like that. And then it said, Touch MW. And from her Facebook post and her Twitter post, she'd always use that as her signature at the end of her statuses, Touch MW. So I'm like, no, this really isn't her. I said, I don't think it's really her. So I got curious, and I texted the number again. This was January, though. And I texted and said, hey, I was just wondering, I'm starting a lip gloss line, and I was wondering if you would be interested in being a sampler for me. And she responded back, sure, call me. So me waiting to, you know, because I'm nervous, obviously, because I'm like, I don't know if it's really going to be her or not. So when I called, I heard her voice, and I said, wow, this is really Mary Wilson. So we talked on the phone, and like I said, never once asked how you got my phone number. The only thing she asked me was, what's my name and where am I from? That's all she asked. But she never asked how I got her phone number, you know, what was my reasoning for calling her. She was just completely polite, kind of as if we knew each other all this time.
Very kind.
Yeah. Opening, welcoming, and friendly. So, kind of put me at ease, too, because...
Yes.
At the end of the conversation, she states that, you know, I can't help you financially with, you know, your business, but I can be a mentor if that's something that you're interested in. And I said, yeah, I actually, honestly, only wanted you to be a tester or just, like, sample it and post about it, take pictures wearing it and saying that you like the product if you did like it. I honestly wasn't contacting you for money. And she said, okay. She said, well, yeah, if you want a mentor, I can help guide you in the direction business-wise of where you want to be. So I said, okay. And we went from there. Like, that was January.
Amazing. Wow.
I ran into
the... How did you feel? Were you not just overjoyed? Or weren't you overjoyed? And
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So now you were still out in Cleveland at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lorraine, yes.
Okay, right. I'm sorry. Yes, of course, in Ohio. Safely say Ohio. But now where was Mary at that point?
Vegas. Either Vegas or in L.A. No, I'm sorry. She was in L.A. because the address she sent me when we got off the phone was an L.A. address.
Okay.
She was in L.A. at the time.
Okay, got it. Wow. Okay, so how did the conversation, okay, great, she is friendly, she is kind, you kind of started that connection, she offered to mentor, to be a mentor, which is amazing all by itself, but you're still out there. How did that conversation evolve to you becoming her assistant, though?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think she needed an assistant. I think what it was is that she more so just wanted someone to be with her or someone around her. Because what she told me was she hasn't really had anyone creative on her team. And when I say creative, I don't mean like, you know, creative with ideas, creative with, you know, actual, like, artistic skills, things like that. Hair, makeup, I can do hair, I can do makeup. So all of that is kind of what she was looking for more so. But I also feel like she wishes also, whether she knew she was at the end or not, maybe she just wanted someone to be there with her. Because when I was over there, I never did any work. I sent maybe a few emails, looked up a few things.
You're saying when you traveled, when you were over there, so when you traveled from Ohio out to Vegas, and that's where she had come, apparently left that L.A. Address and went over to Vegas. Okay.
Yeah,
okay. So that's where she lived. That was her home. She was based out in Las Vegas, Nevada. And so you went out there a while ago to meet up and all of that. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes.
Okay. So
in November of 2021.
Oh, it's been a long time. Okay.
Yes, November 2021, she said, I need the assistant. I wish you were here in Vegas. I'd hire you full-time. And I said, well, in my head, I didn't respond to the email like this. I said, in my head, well, I can make that happen.
I'm telling you, I would have been like, somebody's at your door. That's me. I'm at the door. I would have jumped out the window and been there in 2 seconds. Of course, the great Mary Wilson.
It was 2 seconds. I had nothing planned, nothing saved. I had, when I left Vegas, I had $200 and a plane ticket and a suitcase full of clothes.
Okay, and that's plenty.
Yep. That was, that was all I needed, because I knew a dream of mine had came true. So I didn't care about anything else, honestly. I didn't care about what she was paying me. I would have did it for free, honestly. I didn't care about what she was paying me. I didn't care about anything. Nothing of that was in my head. I, at that moment, and even once I got there, at that moment, only thing that was on my mind was, I am sitting in front of someone I look up to almost all my life.
Wow. Let me just take a moment to bring everybody up to speed. Folks out there, if you are just joining us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we have a very, very special guest who is with us telling really a remarkable story that he has lived. The personal assistant to one of the greatest entertainers of, you know, for the generations that have passed. We're talking about Mary Wilson of the Supremes. And I have to say, the young man is Nicholas Stiles. He, in his own right, is a creator. Well, they call now, you know, a creative. He is doing all these amazing things that we're going to talk about. And he's kind of bringing us along in this great story of first meeting Miss Wilson and, of course, discovering a passion for the Supremes and following his grandmother's great premonition that he one day would meet a Supreme, and so it has happened. I have to say, this story, Nicholas, is just unreal. It's unreal. It really is. And you're just honestly getting started. And it's unreal, yes.
And honestly, tell people the story, whether I'm doing an interview or talking to someone, a friend or a family member, or just talking to someone who doesn't really know the story. It kind of feels like I'm telling a dream, not really a real story. Or I'm telling something that you would hear about in a book or in a movie.
Absolutely.
Not something that really just happened to someone who, I guess you could say, dared to dream.
Well, she's a music icon. She's a music icon. So now, we were at the point where you went out to Vegas, the first meeting. What happened? Who picked who up? How did you connect? You know, did she show up at the at McCarran and Las Vegas at the airport and drive you from there? Did she send the car or Uber or what? Oh, that was not your first?
No, that was our first meeting in Vegas, though. But she came to Cleveland the same year that we met over the phone. She came to Cleveland, and that was our first time meeting in person. And then she also came to Detroit that following year, and she was hosting a party, and I had drove to Detroit for the party. Because Detroit, for me, is only 2 hours.
It's not so far, right, and she was close by. By that time, you guys had gotten close.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was already my mentor. We were talking, you know, on the phone, not every day, or maybe like every other month or something like that. And,
you stayed in contact.
Yeah.
Okay.
She would email me to check in, talk to her about me being depressed, and she would check in, see how I was doing, and things like that.
Awesome. Now, what about that first meeting, though, when she came to Cleveland? What did you, I mean, were you super excited? Did she look like you believed she would, or how did you guys, apparently you clicked.
Well, how that happened was my birthday is August 31st. So she came in September of that year. And I had knew she was coming because I kept track of all of her tour dates so that I could post them on the fan page that I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was coming to certain cities, I'd say, well, hey, Mary's coming to this city, or and she'll be at this place or whatever. And I thought she was coming to Cleveland. I looked it up and thought that it was only $15 to get in. I'm like, Cleveland, it's only $15. And I bought my ticket instantly. So I remember my mom called me friends text me and tag me in different posts on Facebook and Instagram, like, you know, Mary Wilson's coming to Cleveland, right? I'm like, you already know, I already know this. I've been picking up my outfit for a month now. So, the night before she came, I called her because I was unsure of, like, what type of event this was, because as we got closer to the event, the venue added more information about the event. And I wanted to know what was it something like I should dress up for. So it was also at a museum. So it was like, so I asked, should I dress up? Should I, you know, come casual? You know, what should I expect? And she was telling me, you know, don't worry about it. It's a, you know, casual event, so you don't have to dress up or anything like that. Well, I guess I should have thought when someone older says casual, they mean more like business casual. Because I came in there with leggings and a flannel wrapped around my waist. And everyone had suits on and...
Right. Oh, don't you feel like you just want to melt into the ground?
Yes. Yes. I'm like, oh, my God. Because I had a suit picked out.
Right.
Was, you know, since she said it isn't, you know, I don't have to dress up. I mean, I'm not going to dress up.
Yes. Well, you know what you learned? You absolutely learned that day the difference between casual and business casual. Believe me. And that's a lesson a lot of folks don't know. But in a way, it made you stand out also and mm-hmm. express your style to a big degree.
No, it definitely did. And it did for two reasons. So when she walked out from the back of the museum, she looked around the room. I told her I was coming, so she looked around the room. We never saw. Well, I knew what she looked like. She didn't know what I looked like. So she looked around the room and she didn't see. I guess she was looking for me. So she looked. Me and her made eye contact. She smiled and she, you know, started looking around the room again. And then she looked back at me again. And she said, "Are you Nick?" And I said, "Yeah." And then she put this, she had this big smile. She was like, "Well, come here." So she, we kind of had like an awkward moment where she held her hand out. I held my arms out to give. She held her hand out to shake my hand. I held my arms out to hug her, and then she held her arms out to hug me. I held my hand out to shake her hand. So it was kind of like a back and forth for us. So we just ended up shaking each hands. And then she said, "Look what I have on." And she pointed to her lips, and it was a lipstick that I had made for her. And I'm sorry, I can't talk. And she started laughing. And she said, "It's okay." She said, "I'm sure you'll be more settled after the program. So after the show, we'll talk." So she gets on. It's like a live Q&A she did, a live interview. And the lady who's interviewing her asked her, does she mentor? Because they were talking about Maxine Powell and all the other mentors that her and the Supremes had at Motown. So she said, I don't really call it mentoring, more just giving guidance to younger fans. But if you see the young man sitting right there in the front row, I guess you could say I mentor him. He makes lip gloss and lipsticks, and that's how we became connected. So now everybody's looking at me like, oh, you know Mary?
Like, who are you? Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Wow.
So, you know, that was the first time we met.
Amazing. That is amazing. So from there, you go back to, she came out to Cleveland, so you're already near your home, not too far from Cleveland. So that was that. And as you mentioned, you guys stayed in touch over the months and all of that. And at this point, she's your mentor. You're the mentee. And now your friends, what does your family think of you? I mean, because you have to look at it this way also, Nicholas. You're from a different generation, totally different parts of the spectrum when it comes to generations. So did that, you know, So do people think you have, like, what we used to call, like, an old spirit or any of those kinds of things? Were you teased about being connected to some legendary artist? You know, so how did that play in your head and your friends? What do your friends think about this?
All my life I felt like an old soul, or as I was called an old soul. For example, I remember when I was younger, and there was a birthday party, which was, of course, a kid's birthday party was invited to. Everybody, you know, was wearing sneakers and jeans, maybe, and I wore dress pants and Stacy Adams shoes. And everybody was looking at me like, why do you have church clothes on? Because it's what I felt comfortable in.
Wow. And even your communication style, it is, feels like I'm talking to more of a contemporary, age-wise, really. But that is just amazing. You put folks at ease, and we're going to talk about that. So, which I imagine went over very well with Mary Wilson. So, tell me about that.
It definitely got critiqued one of the days that I was at her house. So, it was wash day, and I only had this bodysuit that I had bought, a jumpsuit I bought. It was a tight jumpsuit, and I had wore a shirt over it, because I wore it as kind of like pants, so I like wore like a sweater over it to make it look like it was pants and shirt. And the jumpsuit was really tight. So she opens the door, and she goes, hi. And she stops and looks me up and down and just moves out the way and kind of like just lets me in, doesn't say anything. And the whole time, I'm like, well, I don't know what I did, because she just keeps making these faces at me. So I'm like, either she doesn't like me or something wrong with my outfit. I'm like, well, I don't know. So it kind of made me awkward, because like, so she wouldn't say much to me like she usually would. So the next day, I come over, and I'm, you know, like I said, it's wash day, so I haven't really had, I don't have anything but like jogging pants that were clean. And I wore the jogging pants that I had over to her house, and she goes, these pants, the first thing she says, these pants are a lot better than the ones you wore the last time.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, you said you didn't say anything, but you kept making these faces. And I wasn't going to say anything if you weren't, but since you did. She said I was making faces. And I said, yeah, you're making quite a few faces. And she's like, I'm sorry. And I was like, no, it's fine. It was actually kind of funny. And she's like, my thing is, when you have a big, and she stopped. She said a big, and then there's this pause, a big behind. You don't wear tight pants. I said, oh. She said, yeah. She said, you know, I don't want to be offensive or anything, but, you know, you just, it's not flattering. Unless it's the kind of attention you want.
And okay.
I said, I understand. And she was like, well.
That's great. That is great advice that I will never unhear. That's great advice, I think. How did you take that?
Well, once again, it was one of those things that made me feel more comfortable around her, because it was like I was home.
And she always seemed to speak her mind on television interviews.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, at this point, I wanted to ask you, Nicholas, and again, if you guys are just joining us, I'm speaking with a very special guest on the Hair Radio Morning Show. It's a very, very special broadcast. We have welcomed the last assistant of singing superstar, the legendary icon, Miss Mary Wilson of the Supremes. Nicholas Stiles is his name, and he's joining us today with this amazing story that you don't want to miss one part of, believe me. It's just, I've never heard anything quite like it. Now, I wanted to ask you, during some of these meetings, you guys met, she came out to Cleveland, you guys met in Detroit, you stayed in touch over the months. the friendship was growing, the mentoring was going on. Was there ever a point that she shared details of her journey as a Supreme with you, or did she ever talk about Diana? I mean, we want to know these things. Did she ever mention Diana Ross to you?
If you are looking for anything shady, no. But she definitely knows Diana's name. And I want to say this first. There's not one person in this world who I can't stand that I'll have pictures of in my house, hang up on my wall, or don't like or dislike. If she had paintings that she purchased of Diana by herself hanged on her wall.
Wow.
So, well, she had pictures of all of them, her, Diana, and Florence, but I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't have pictures of a person I disliked or anything like that on my wall.
Right. Right.
So,
did you get the feeling that she did not like Diana?
No, never, actually. Never felt that way at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me let you go ahead. What did she tell you? Did she call you to the side and say, listen, let me give you the real story? Did she talk about Berry Gordy and Motown and all that?
I would say this. Mary Wilson, the Supreme, and Mary Wilson, I guess they are Auntie Mary, were two different people. When I was around her or talked to her on the phone, it kind of like was like I was talking to just Mary Wilson, the person, not the Supreme. So when she's telling me different stories of her youth, it's kind of just like a regular older person telling you about the good old days. But her stories of Diana were few. There was only like two or three, as she told me, that had Diana in it. And it wasn't like, let me tell you the key. It was more of like, I asked her a question. And, for example, Wilson Pickett. I had asked her a question about him. And she was telling me about a documentary they had together called Only the Strong Survive, if I'm not mistaken. It was Wilson Pickett in the documentary, Mary Wilson, Carla Thomas, and Rufus Thomas. And the reason why Wilson Pickett's name I came up with because I was asking her about Carla Thomas. Carla Thomas actually is a family friend. Rufus Thomas and Carla Thomas are family friends. And I was asking her about them. But she was telling me, she's like, I remember when we did this show, this interview, and Wilson Pickett picked up the story about us back in the day. And I said, is this a story about the car ride? And she said, yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So the story was, the story goes, Wilson Pickett said, we'd have Mary and Florence sit in the front, and Diana sit all the way in the back with her head down because she was so ugly. And Mary was like, everyone started laughing, and it made me feel awkward because it really wasn't funny, but it was just like, now I'm in this space because we were already going through our own little thing publicly at the edge of time. So for him to say that, with me sitting right next to him, made me look bad, or something made me look bad. And she was like, I just hope that she didn't see that and think like, oh, there she goes again. So that was one thing she said.
Interesting. Wow.
But more of the stories were about Florence, if anything.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, what did she share about Florence? I mean, that is, to me, a huge, huge... Florence was the whole kind of the impetus for the whole Dreamgirls movie, really.
Right.
So what can you tell us that she shared?
Well, what she said was, I had mentioned something about, she mentioned something about my weight. And I said, I'm going to do what Florence is going to tell y'all. Then maybe end where honey fat is where it's at. And she started laughing, and she said, Florence, she sure was a character. And I said, I wish I could have met her. And she said, who? Diane? And I said, no. I said, well, I want to be her too. But I said, no, Florence. And she said, oh, no, she was definitely somebody who would like. She was pressed before her like it is. Always.
And she called Diana Ross Diane always. Every TV interview I've ever seen, I've never seen her call Diana Ross Diana. She seemed to always call her Diane.
And what she told me wasn't about that particular situation, though. Well, her calling Diana Diane. It was about someone else. I can't remember who. Oh, Muhammad Ali. So she had said he would get mad at her for calling him Cassius. Because she's like, that's what I met him
yes.
as, and it always
stuck. Cassius Clay, yes.
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 So when he changed his name to Muhammad, it was like, hey, Cassius. And he's like, Mary, stop calling me that.
Right. Wow. So Mary had a lot of famous friends, I imagine, like that legendary fighter, Muhammad Ali, first started out Cassius Clay, of course. So did you get a chance to talk to her about some of these superstar collaborations and some of the things, and how did that, what might come to mind, like some of the things that she, because you guys were going to start working on projects, and I can't wait to talk to you about what were some of the things that she wanted to, or that you guys started working on together.
Well, I couldn't say this. We didn't start working on anything. At the moment, what she was more so doing was training me. She kept saying that I know what you want to do with your career. And she said, I know what you're going to do with your career and what you're going to do with your future. So I want to prepare you for it. And I'm going to get to that later. Because you know how you said about my grandma, how she made this happen with her dream or her vision. I feel like Mary knew something I didn't know. And I'll say that later on.
Yeah.
But, one of the stories she told me, it was the first night I was with her, and we had went out to dinner. She said, well, what do you want to eat? And I said, I'm open to anything. I honestly have no reservations on anything. So she said, well, what about Thai or Japanese? And I said, I've never had either. So you never had Japanese food? I said, So I said, well, we're probably going to go to this Japanese restaurant I really like. So we went to this Japanese restaurant. We were sitting there, and she ordered, she's like, well, you ever had sushi? And I said, no, just raw fish makes me uncomfortable, the idea of it. And she laughed, and she said, well, they have cooked sushi also. I said, okay, I'll try that. So she got me a thing to tempura sushi and some type of like vegetable sushi. So she got me both of them to try. And then she gave me a piece of her sushi also to try her sushi. I can't remember what she had. And we're just sitting there talking. And she slides me a $100 bill. And she says, well, this is your, first payment or whatever. It really wasn't a payment. It was more so just to make sure I had got around the city. And I had, some money in the city until I had got paid. So we're sitting.
It sounds like you were just excited to be in the mix of things.
Yes, and I just was in awe. Like, I'm trying to eat my food, and I just noticed little things about her that we had in common. Like, I'm sitting there. I hate when I'm sitting in front of someone and I'm chewing my food, so I cover my mouth. That's the same. She did the same thing. She pulled her bank card out to pay, and we had the same bank. And I said, well, you have Bank of America? And she said, yeah, I have Bank of America. She said, well, that's the same bank I have. She said, they're a really good bank. I said, I wouldn't use them for business, though, but they're a really good bank to have. So,
Wow.
That was something that we had connected on. So I'm just, sitting there just kind of, in shock. Like, I couldn't even eat my food because I just was in shock.
Well, you were sitting with a real life dream girl.
Yes. And I said, I'm sorry. I don't want to sound like I am for these excited fans, but I have to say this. This is so surreal for me because I've dreamed about since I was a kid and it's actually happening. I'm sitting here eating sushi with Mary Wilson. And she got it laying
wow.
She covered her mouth while she was chewing. And she swallowed and she goes, well, you know, I understand. That's all she said. And then I had to ask her. I said, well, is there any celebrity that you had ever been around that you just felt starstruck around, whether it was the first time meeting or whatever? And she said, only one celebrity. She said, this celebrity, from the first time they met in the 60s to the day they passed away, I want to say that she...
Elvis Presley.
And the,
oh, no.
In the early 70s.
Ella Fitzgerald? Who?
One more guess, and I'll tell you.
Oh, okay. Let's see. You said it was a female back
a
in
female,
the 60s.
Female actress singer. Yes.
The only one I could think of was Judy Garland. She passed away in the 2000. Diane Carroll, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Lena Horne.
Lena! Oh, that should have been one of the top of my list. Yeah, of course. Lena Horne, yeah, she fits the bill. She would make me nervous, you know. Absolutely. Lena Horne, another legend. We're talking about, you know, just Stormy Weather, her big song. Just real amazing. She was across the board, had talent that spread across the board, and just a lovely lady, very talented lady. So, yes, I could get that. Wow. Well, aren't you lucky just to have Mary Wilson, superstar singer of the Supremes, telling Nicholas Stiles all of these wonderful tidbits. Now, I do have one question for you on that subject. What about the movie Dreamgirls? You mentioned it early on at the top of our wonderful talks today, but what can you tell us? Did she ever mention the movie Dreamgirls or Jennifer Hudson or Jennifer Holliday for that much or anybody?
To me, no. To me, no. Well, I know she was really good friends with Shirley Ralph.
Oh, she still remained friends with Shirley Ralph.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Who played the Diana part in the Broadway version
of
Dreamgirls. Right, right. The original Dina Jones. Well, yes, we know our research here at Hair Radio. So I tell you, which is amazing. Yes, well, you guys know Shirley Ralph. She went on to star in Brandy. And, of course, Brandy was on the cover of our Upscale magazine just a couple months ago. I just think there's a full circle thing going on here. I think it's amazing. And what a remarkable story. And, again, if you've just joined us, if you're just tuning in to the Hair Radio Morning Show, I'm having an amazing conversation this morning with Mr. Nicholas Stiles, who is recalling this amazing journey that he has. I think it was a life-changing journey. Supporting, yes, and being the assistant to the one and only superstar, legendary music icon artist of the Supremes. We're talking about Mary Wilson. I mean, the Supremes, you have to understand, really the most successful female group of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Of all time. And, yeah, and just so many different things. They led the way on style. They taught the world about style. They opened up so many doors professionally and otherwise. They were just amazing. I mean, you know, when you think of it. And, you know, so we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I want to kind of talk now about some of the, you know, and I think this is going to be a little bit of the hard part, because I want to talk about what happened, you know, how all of this came to kind of a sad end. And So you're working, you're doing all this wonderful good stuff. How did the conversation come about that you were going to travel to her home out in Las Vegas right before all of this happened that she passed? What was the crux of that conversation?
Well, first I had to call my cousin. My cousin had offered me earlier that year, so this was November 2021, and in January of 2021, kind of like you said, full circle, because in January 2020, not 2021.
Oh, okay.
And then November 2020, not 2021. Yes, it's kind of like full circle. In January of 2021, that's when I moved to Vegas. But in January 2020, my cousin had offered me kind of like to come stay with him in Vegas. He was like, you know, hey, cuz, he's like, I see that you're doing drag, and he was like, you're really good. He's like, I think that, you know, you should move to Vegas, and you can come stay with me. I'm not going to charge you anything. You know, he's like, I really want you to come out here and do drag, perform. I said, oh, I'll think about it. Moving anywhere wasn't anywhere in my mind. Well, it was, but my bank account said otherwise. So I, you know, wasn't planning on moving anywhere. So when November 2020 came and I get this email from Mary Wilson, the first thing I could think of to do was call my cousin. And I called him and I told him, I said, hey, Mary Wilson from the Supremes just offered me a job in Vegas to come be her assistant. Can I come stay with you? Is that offer still on the table? He said, yeah. He's like, you know, I have a roommate now, but other than that, he's like, if my roommate's cool with it, I definitely don't mind. I said, okay. So I call up Mary, and I said, hey, I saw your email, and if you need me to come to Vegas, I can do that. When do you need me to come? And I kind of just jumped the gun. She was like, no, 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 you don't have to come tomorrow. You can kind of slow down. I started laughing. And I had said, well, she said, we can start from here and then, you know, transition you to Vegas going into the following year, which was 2021. And I said, okay, I'm fine with that. Because it gives me enough time to, like, you know, save up my money and get everything in
get
order.
Get things together, right.
I had an apartment here. I had, we have the best paying job in the world, but I had a job, you know.
I had
things here. So I would have to figure out, you know, my lease and all that. You know, because my lease would have to be cut early.
Mm-hmm.
To move to Vegas. So
wow.
I didn't have to figure all that stuff out. And like I said, I didn't have anything to save. I only had $20 when I moved to when I got to Vegas.
Wow.
I told her, she said, okay. So then our next conversation she had asked, she said, well, what was your savings goal? Let me just say something about that. And I said, well, about $2,500 if I can get that, you know, in from now to January, maybe, because I'm thinking that if I can have it by January, I can leave in January. She said, okay. She said, well, I hope you know, once you get out here, you don't have to worry about anything, but I'll make sure you're taken care of all the way. And I said, okay. And being that she kind of kept her word throughout the years of her being my mentor, I thought that that was what's going to happen. You know, once I got out there, I'd be taken care of. And when I did get there, it seemed as if that was what the plan was. She asked me again after I got there, well, what was I expecting? And I told her, $1,500 a month. I felt like if I'm going to be traveling with you, $1,500, I'm sure those costs of me traveling would be taken care of, not out of my pocket. And she said, yeah, that's true. I'm sure you have your flight and hotel and food and all that taken care of if we're going somewhere. I said, okay.
And then she said, then I said, so if it's going to be a month, would, you know, make sure I have a car, at least when I get back to Vegas. So that if I needed to, you know, go pick them part-time, you know, in our off-season or whatever, that I could do that to make a little bit extra money.
Well, and she agreed to the $1,500 a month.
Yeah, and she said if not, I'll just buy you a car.
Yeah, because that's a steal, $1,500 a month. Oh gosh, wow, how awesome is that?
Yeah, I personally didn't think that was a lot, because if we're being honest, that's a little bit under what I make at this present time.
Yes, and that's not a lot at all. That's what I mean. That is an amazing thing that you are going to assist her for that. But so now this is towards, we're coming down to like, what was that, like November, like December, January of 2021, I think we're kind of digging into.
Yeah, we're January 15th is the day I left to go to Vegas.
Okay, so you left on January 15th, Dr. King's birthday, actual birthday it is.
It's also the day Diana Ross left the Supremes.
Wow, is that correct? Wow.
So I kind of set that around that, actually. I did that strategically. But
wow.
January 15th is actually the day that Diana, February 15th, 1970.
So on the 15th, you went out to Vegas. Now, so tell us what happened from there. You started working for her. And so what happened from there? You worked for her. What did your work consist of? Did you go over there every morning and have meetings? Did you stay over at night? Were you guys playing Supreme songs all day? What were those meetings about?
So what we did was we agreed upon. Okay, let me start about the first day, the very first day, because the very first day set the tone for the next 3 weeks. I go to her house. This was the day after we had sat down and had like a little like brunch together, kind of like a formal meeting in Vegas to discuss what she would expect from me and all that. But the first day at her house, she told me to come around 11 o'clock. So I actually was kind of late. I was there at 11:05, only because of the Uber. But she said 11 o'clock, you know, if you want, you could be at my house between 11 and 12. But I was thinking that someone said 11 first. I assumed she wouldn't be there at 11. So I get to her house at 11:05, and she opens the door. And she's kind of like covering her head. She's like, I'm sorry. She was like, I usually don't let people see me without my wig on. And I said, well, I don't know why you have such pretty hair.
How was her hair? What was it, like in a ponytail?
It was in a ponytail, yep. She had, like, something covering it with her hand. And it was, I mean, when she took it out the ponytail and started brushing it down, it was about a little bit past her shoulders. It was silky, straight, and all silver.
Wow.
And she was like, I said, I usually don't let people see me without my wig on, but, you know, you're here now, so. And I said, no, you're natural hair.
And it was so beautiful.
Yeah, it's something she said, something that I noticed. It was thinning around her hairline. That's nothing that a weave can fix.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said. I told her, you definitely start wearing your natural hair. I said, it's long enough that it can be worn. It's not thin all over either.
And how did she feel about that? What did she say when you mentioned that?
I said, thank you. And she said, as I said, that set the tone for the next 3 weeks because she never wore a wig when we were together. Now, she wore a wig when we went to, like, Target or we went out to eat or whatever, but she never wore a wig in the house.
Now, was she ever recognized in your presence by anybody?
No.
Did anybody ever know that was Mary Wilson of the Supremes?
I think COVID had a big part of that because of the mask. She wore masks.
So that would definitely, and especially if she didn't have a wig on.
Yeah, I don't think anyone noticed who she was. Besides, I mean, we did go to her P.O. box office, and they knew who she was because she's been working with them, you know, for so long.
Right.
But other than that, nope, I've never heard anyone say, oh, that's Mary Wilson, or aren't you that lady from that group, or nothing like that.
Wow, well, I tell you, you had her all to yourself, really, pretty much. Now, I understand
that. Also comfortable too.
Yes, now, I think I read somewhere that Mary had 3 children, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And and was married once, I believe.
Yes. His name.
Did she ever talk about? Yes. Well, did she ever talk about her personal connections or
her
family
children,
or anything like
husband,
that?
No. Well, actually, no. She did talk about her husband.
What did she say?
Me and her talked about guys together. And I told her I was talking to a Leo. And she said, oh, God, mm-hmm. I'm married to a Leo. Don't do that.
Wow. And and I'm raising my hand as a Leo. Of course. Wow. Wow. Well, I think that's fascinating. Okay. So that's one thing we know about him. He was a Leo. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. We have a very special guest with us today. You guys know her. She's been with us before. Her name is Captain Smash. Now, she has an amazing story to tell you. It made headlines out in Indianapolis, Indiana, just this past year. And we are so excited to welcome her back to the show, but this time to tell the story. The Hair Radio Morning Show would like to welcome the superstar, Captain Smash. Welcome back. Good morning.
Well, hello.
Yes, hello to you. And all of the listeners out there, you've just made such an impact with everyone. And we're going to tell everybody just why and how you have resonated with so much. With so many, I should say, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So first of all, let's talk about some of the things that you've been up to. But before we get into that, Captain Smash, I want to give folks a little bit of background. Now, you are a hairstylist, a licensed cosmetologist. You have folks that you service in several states, but mainly we're talking about out in Indianapolis, Indiana, and also you're known in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, on top of that, you're what's called a custom tailor. And so you provide special services to those who do not wish to have a traditional funeral at a funeral home. And you work in conjunction with the funeral home. Can you tell us a little bit more about what exactly a custom tailor is and how it all comes to, you know, how does it all work? Share that with us again.
A tailor is someone as in an accessory. you know, let's just use it metaphorically, saying, you know, when you get that vehicle, but you have to have, you know, it come with tires and seats and things like that, but you want rims, you want color, you want, you know, those.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. It is Thursday morning again, January 25th, 2024. You were listening to an incredible account on the last days of this incredible superstar, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Michael Hopkins, host of Vet Talk Radio Show, my colleague right here on the Morning Hair Radio broadcast. Michael, good morning again. Happy third hour. Wrap up.
Yes, it is.
Which is where we are. Yeah. So, Michael, what did you think of the story that we replayed from our vault this morning on, which talked about Mary. Wilson of the Supremes.
Carrie, that story always just brings a smile to my face because I grew up in that era of the Supremes, Motown,
wow.
The Motown story and the history of Motown and the Barry Gordys and the Temps, the Four Tops. I grew up in that era. And it just, every time I get a chance to just learn more about one of the heroes or my heroes from that era, I just love it. I really do. I just love it how a lot of times people say, well, dreams don't come true. Well, this young man's dream came true. Using modern technology, Carrie, that to me is just so fascinating. Modern, a text message,
well,
and then this and that.
That was part one, Michael. Yeah, I just wanted to jump in and say that was part one. We will be on with part two with the wrap-up on tomorrow, which he goes into great detail. I love how this young man was so very detailed, Mr. Nicholas Styles, about what he was doing, and to me, it just reminded me, you know, of our other vault segments where there's a story being told, and this is true of almost every interview that we do on the Hair Radio Morning Show. There is a story being told and is being rolled out to the listeners, and I think that's exactly what happened here. And you get caught up in it. I mean, I was just listening along with all of you guys, and I just was, okay, wow. I couldn't wait to hear what was next.
Neither could I, Carrie. I mean, it's just like you're glued to your seat. You're glued to the radio.
It definitely is. And it just reminded me, as we kind of, you know, get to the 1,000th episode, that we have had so many news items. Everyone from the Gorilla Glue Girls doctor, Dr. Ovengle's been with us twice, to Kennedy Center Honor, Miss Dionne Warwick, to Hollywood Walk of Fame star recipient, Melba Moore, to Beyonce's dad, Mr. Matthew Knowles, to, you know, everybody has been through our doors. To Camille, just 1 year ago, she had been nominated for an Academy Award for her work in hairstyling on the Wakanda movies. And it, I was just moved that we were able to talk to her. I had never talked to anybody who had been nominated for an Academy Award on our show.
Wow.
So that was a first for us.
Yeah.
And we've just done so much. We've been, we've given you a front row seat into so many things and topics and guests and news items and conversations. And it's just been quite rewarding. So today, our 945th episode today. 945. Woo. That is a lot of
broadcast. That is a lot. And we are just tearing it up, Carrie. We are just tearing it up.
I think so too.
This show was just this morning, you know, wow. This morning show. I mean, we started out with Cher and we're ending up with Mary Wilson. But what can you say, Carrie? Who else has something like this?
Well, I can say that it's an eclectic. Today was a little eclectic. We have, you know, each broadcast is different. We do a three-hour show every single day. And to have, you know, been on for so long, we kind of bring together an eclectic type show. You never quite know what you're going to hear. But it is something that is pertinent to our lives, and that makes me really appreciate what we're doing. It's quite rewarding. So listen, tomorrow, Friday, we have a great wrap-up week. We'll wrap up the week, I should say, I guess, with a little bit of a review. We've had on some amazing guests this week, and today, again, was no exception. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Plus, we have a special guest that should be joining us tomorrow, and we'll get that on as well. And just keep doing what we're doing. We appreciate your feedback. So drop us a line on social media. You can certainly reach out to us. Google the Hair Radio Morning Show, five words. And there you'll see a big listing of our episodes. Click on any one you want to listen to. And it offers you an opportunity to follow us right there, a big old follow button. And that way you can be notified when we schedule new broadcasts, which we are here 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, Tuesday mornings, Wednesday mornings, Thursday mornings, and Fan Day Friday. So please, please continue to join us. So, Michael, got to say, it's been a great morning. It really has. And the energy was through the roof.
Yes, it was. I don't even know if we had a roof, Carrie. I'm not even sure we had a roof.
Well, we blew the roof off.
Oh, yes, we did.
We raised the roof, they used to say. I haven't heard that one in years, Michael.
Very much
in many, many years. Yeah. So, folks, I just want to say thanks again for joining us, all the fans everywhere, our fans from coast to coast here in America, plus our worldwide fans from everywhere, from Canada and the continent of Africa, for that much, to Australia, to, you know, just every part of Europe. And like I said, from coast to coast here in America, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank the world of you for supporting this broadcast. Now, February, speaking of fans, we got something called Fan Fever February that we talked a little bit about mid-show today. We're going to be rolling on in. Trust me, you don't want to miss any of our episodes and our special programming that's on for February. For us, Michael, it's the most important month of the year. It's Black History Month. So we definitely will be incorporating a whole bunch of that
as we continue to do what we do. And so I'm just, what can we say?
Very much so, Karen.
Yeah. So we're going to continue with all of this and just continue to make the show as best as it can be. And we do that for you. So Michael Hopkins, host of Vet Talk Radio Show, will be talking about Vet Talk as well tomorrow.
Yes.
In the first hour. So, yeah, so definitely tune in. We'll do, like I said, our big wrap-up and talk a little bit more about what's happening right here in our big 1,000 celebration that's on the way. Michael, time for the outro this week. Oh, boy. You know, what can I say, Michael? I shouldn't say for this week, for this Thursday morning. We still got one more big day to go this week. And we're just knocking out these shows. So, Michael, any closing thoughts this morning? Anything you want to shout out to the veteran side?
Oh, yes, to the veteran side. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes, and this is to all veterans. This is to everyone who supports a veteran, who loves veterans and wants to help veterans. Here on the Hair Radio morning show that I host, you don't have to be a veteran to help a veteran. Back to you, Carrie Hines.
Okay, my co-host, Michael Hopkins, who is doing just a great job. He hosts the Vet Talk Radio Show Tuesday, Wednesday, 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. And we're just doing what we know best. We really are. What
Very
I love,
so.
I get a message that, yeah, talk about our international fan, Mo Warren, who's over in Nigeria, and also King Moore Freddy, I should speak, who has a barbershop as well. So shout out Mo Warren, but we also have King Moore Freddy, who is a barber. And he always calls me the chairman. So
wow.
I just sent him a message this morning, good morning. Yeah, so he wrote back. Good afternoon, longtime chairman. He's in Africa. They're ahead. So that's why he says good afternoon. So, yes. Hello, buddy. And, you know, I just appreciate him. We're gonna have to get him as a guest on the radio show.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I'll reach out to him and see if we can get him on. And I think we'll be just doing some great stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So, listen, Michael Hopkins, doing some great stuff. I really am very pleased. Let's go ahead and we got to get our outro